So why don't you start by telling me a little bit about yourself and why you started teaching at Western?
I did my PhD at Western in Victorian literature, and since I completed that, I have done a lot of teaching in the area of children's literature. So, a number of years ago, I proposed the idea of doing a course exclusively devoted to the Harry Potter series, mostly because I really wanted a chance to teach Deathly Hallows, and there's no way to put that book on a course for people who haven't read the previous six books. And so it took a little bit of doing, but it was probably about a 2-year process of getting approval for the course through the department to actually running it, and I've been running the course since 2013.
And what is it about children's literature that you find so interesting?
I was somebody who really loved to read as a child, and so one of the things that I really noticed is that the books I read when I was a child have stayed with me in a way that is very rarely true of books that I read now. And of course, I still do love to read, and I read lots of adult literature as well. But even books that I really love, I often find that 2, 3 years later, I have forgotten almost everything about them. And yet, I can still vividly remember books that I read when I was 10 or 11 years old, even if I read them once and never looked at them again. I think that the books that we read at that age have a really formative influence, and it's a really powerful form of literature. And so that's, I think, the nature of my interest in the genre.
What were some of the challenges you faced when you proposed the Many Faces of Harry Potter course?
I was trying to get approval for the course, I certainly had the sense that in order for it to be seen as a legitimate course to offer, I had to ensure that I was doing not just Harry Potter, but also a lot of other books as well. And so I originally had, I think, 4 short stories and 4 novels on the course in addition to all 7 Harry Potter books. And this is for a half course. It's only 13 weeks long. And so I have gradually been paring that down a little bit. We've now got just 2 novels and a few short stories. And even with all that additional material included in the course, when we first announced that it was running, there was an immediate backlash, really, I think is not too strong a word. The Western Gazette published an article called Harry Potter and the Bird Course. And this was an editorial, and it actually did work its way towards the claim that there is intellectual validity in studying popular culture, recent culture. But before they got to that point, they gave a lot of airtime to the idea that there cannot possibly be any intellectual validity to studying something like Harry Potter. So there was a lot of controversy in response to that, and then the story got picked up by a lot of other news outlets as well. So I mean, I think the publicity was good in the long run, and it created a really interesting dialogue around why we study the things we do.
And what are some of the stuff that you cover in the course, like some of the material?
Some of the material that I cover on the course.
Yeah, and like the main elements that you look at.
So I've designed the course to look at J.K. Rowling's use of genre. So we work our way through a number of other genres, very often genres of popular literature, so gothic literature, detective fiction, dystopian literature. And these are all genres that Rowling is mixing with fantasy in order to create the particular effects that she does. So we look at them one by one, and each one is related to underlying ideas that are meaningful. So in our unit on detective fiction, we look at the question of how knowledge is to be acquired and whether empirical observation is the sole method of understanding the world around us or whether imagination and intuition can also be valuable sources of knowledge. And so these kinds of questions are really relevant to the mandate of a university where different departments embody different traditions of knowledge. And especially because this is a course that doesn't have any prerequisites, it is not a course inhabited solely by English students by any means. Students in the course are coming from a variety of disciplines. And so I think it leads to a really kind of fruitful discussion of some of the presuppositions about knowledge that would be formative to the sciences or the social sciences or the humanities. And then we work from there into the political considerations that are raised in dystopian fiction. And then I close with a unit on fairy tale, which kind of circles back to children's literature and the way that even apparently simple stories can embed a variety of meanings that are at the liberty of the reader.
And when the class ends each semester, what are you hoping that students take away from the course?
What I have found, I don't know if this is something I would have developed as a purpose to the course ahead of time, but what I have found over the years of teaching this course is that students often come to me and say that this course has given them hope and it has sustained them through some of the struggles that they might have with depression, through some of the alienating experiences of being in a competitive academic environment. And that is something that is really meaningful to me, to hear that from students. That I think that that's something that people have always turned to the Harry Potter books for. I know that Rowling has sometimes corresponded with readers who tell her that, you know, I'm struggling with cancer and your books are giving me hope. And so I think that the ideas we talk about in the course are of greatest value to me when I'm hearing from students that this is something that makes them willing to persist through the difficulties in their lives.
So now let's transition a little over Harry Potter and literature as a whole. So what kind of impact do you think Harry Potter has had on literature?
On literature?
Yeah, just in general.
Well, I'll answer that another way. Well, I'll answer this in two ways. So first of all, I think it's really interesting that a lot of empirical work is now coming out of the social sciences with people designing studies to actually measure the impact of reading on children, on young adults. And there's a lot of really interesting data to show how fiction in general, but the Harry Potter series in particular, can be demonstrably and measurably useful in developing empathy, and particularly in developing open-mindedness towards people from other cultures, from other political or religious persuasions. And so I think that's a really interesting sort of body of data that's accumulating around what this series is actually capable of doing for its readers. And then in terms of the impact of Harry Potter on literature, certainly I think that in children's literature it has created a real sea change. One huge impact is that this is a series that has proved that you don't need to write separately for boys and girls, that there are books that children can respond to regardless of their gender. And I think that in a lot of interesting ways, the Harry Potter series combines things that have always traditionally been done in children's books for boys. So facing danger, having heroic battles against evil. Those are the kinds of stories that boys have always had access to. And this is a series that's really popular with girls as well, but it also contains, for both audiences, the things that girls' books have always done well, which is to look at how people find their identity through their friendships and the groups that they belong to and their embeddedness in communities. And so this is a series that has been able to draw not just from the genres that I've described, like detective fiction or dystopia, but also from two separate traditions within children's literature that have always been fairly gendered. And I think that that has really created a kind of space of freedom for people who want to write for children to do so in a way that is not so narrowly directed at boys or girls as separate reading audiences.
And Harry Potter...
The other thing, too, as well, is that since the success of the Harry Potter series, I think there's a much greater willingness on the part of publishers to write to publish books that are directed at a less defined age group, because, as everybody knows, the Harry Potter books are popular among adults just as much as they are among children or teenagers. And so I think somebody like Neil Gaiman, for instance, has been able to benefit from that. He had a lot of trouble publishing his book Coraline because publishers didn't know what age it was for. And I think publishers are much more willing now to publish books that are addressing a more broadly defined audience.
And so Harry Potter is celebrating its 20-year anniversary this year, so what do you think it is about the series that makes it such a timeless tale across the globe? Like, everyone around the world reads this book.
Yeah, and I certainly noticed that the love of Harry Potter isn't going anywhere. So when I first ran the course in 2013, the students who were taking it were the students who had read each book as it came out. You know, they were teenagers in 2007 when Deathly Hallows was published. And so I told those students, you know, you are the Harry Potter generation. And they knew that this was true, that they had experienced these books together no waning of interest. And I've done some events at libraries for younger children, and they are every bit as excited about this series as the people were that received these books when they were first published. So it's really showing a lot of longevity. Certainly one thing I think that just lends itself to that is that Rowling deals with contemporary issues, but she does so in metaphorical ways. So she doesn't talk about, you know, issues like, you know, the AIDS virus or the AIDS epidemic, but she does talk about werewolves as having this communicable disease that makes them targets for discrimination. And she shows the value of including these people and allowing them to attend school as children through the character of Professor Lupin. So that's something that was probably inspired by some of the fears that circulated around the AIDS epidemic in kind of the late 80s, but it remains a metaphor that can be adapted to new situations and new forms of discrimination as they occur. And so I think that, you know, certainly in the last couple of years, readers of the Harry Potter series are very alert to the ways in which that series focuses on immigration, because that is such a fraught issue right now on the political landscape. And it's something that she deals with, again, metaphorically through this magical community where there is a lot of fear and disagreement about how incomers from the Muggle world should be treated. And I think that will just continue to be the case, that the metaphors are flexible enough that the book will continue to seem really timely and relevant to situations that Rowling could not possibly have anticipated in the 1990s when she was first writing the series.
Okay, well, I have one final question for you. I've been asking everyone. So what's your favorite Harry Potter book, and who's your favorite Harry Potter character and why?
All right, so I just taught a class last night on Harry Potter, Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and I love that book so much. And one of the things I really love about it is that it is structured very much as a sequence of short stories, and the titles of the chapters are all really evocative. The secret riddle, the lightning struck tower. Each story is a perfect set piece, and some of them are disturbing and some of them are funny. And she goes back and forth between light and dark in this really balanced way through the book. And so this is something that works on so many levels. When I read the series to my children, we loved that book because we could sit down and read one chapter, and that chapter would be a perfect self-contained story that was often just hilariously funny or deeply intriguing. And yet, of course, as always, there is the plot that ties them all together into a whole. But it's one of the funniest books in the series, and I think it's just beautifully constructed. And my favorite character is Hermione, because I absolutely was that girl with her hand in the air in every class, you know, trying to show everybody how smart I was.